Martin, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Doing great, Martin.
Well, while we're playing the name game, I mean, the name that's out there, and I want to know how we make it a name that wears green is Myles Garrett. That's one thing. And then here's another thing, since I'm just asking big questions, and how do we get it done? How do we oust an owner? How do we get rid of Harris so we're not talking about disgrace?
So the last time I felt like we were in this spot as a fan base, it was Norman Brayman.
Right.
A little bit of Harold Katz, but
yeah,
a little bit of Harold Katz for sure. A lot of Norman Brayman, and now we're in that spot with Josh Harris. One, Martin, I got to imagine the NBA would prefer that he did not buy the team. I think they probably look back and say, "Man, this guy's been a pain in the patootie."
Huge pain. I mean, just like.
But then the NFL welcomed him in. Are you sure about that? I think he's at
But he hasn't caused the NFL a problem yet.
He
cleaned up a problem to an extent with the Daniel Snyder thing.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, he did. He did clean up a problem that needed to be cleaned up with Daniel Snyder. I mean,
my point is that I don't think the NBA is as upset with Josh Harris as we are. He pays his money, he spends money, all that.
Like, James, the tanking thing caused them problems.
They had to change the lottery system. Yeah.
They added two more playoff teams in each league because of it. You know, they had to try to come up with rules. Look, I can't say for sure, Martin, whether Adam Silver would prefer he not be an owner. I can tell you my instincts are because there is other billionaires in the world.
You're adding work to his desk. How is that welcome? Like, who has a job of that level that wants more on their desk because you're just doing loophole things?
I agree with you. I do. So, Martin, give me your answer first, because that's all right. Just give me your 20 seconds as a Sixers fan, and we're about to play the Nick Nurse audio. How do you feel about the 76ers organization?
I'm like, betrayed is the word. Betrayed's the word. Like, it's got so much history. It should be so easy to charge into this every winter. And right now we're fatigued and it hasn't even started. So betrayed.
Yeah. Like, it's a fair word. All right, Mark, give me a great answer. With the Sixers obviously lying and deceiving, give me a fictional lie or a deception.
It's got to be the line from Usual Suspect, where the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. It's got to be it.
I don't know if I like as the answer.
Yeah, the lie is Kaiser Soze. Like, the lie is the story he tells to Chaz Palminteri.
Which I think is what this guy's trying to say, but that's not how he said it.
Yeah, he's talking about the line, the greatest trick the devil ever played.
Yeah. That's a bad way to present a great topic.
Yeah, I don't think he nailed it there.
The lie is that most of the story is probably made up.
The lie, exactly. The lie is we have no idea actually what the story is.
Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah.
Isn't this Costanza? It's not a lie if you believe it.
Yes, exactly. That's why I went with the Costanza answer. That is correct.
There you go, Ross. Yeah. All right, Ross, wait till you hear this stuff from Nick Nurse yesterday. I think it was last week when you were on, I believe.
Yes, it was.
When we did a lot on Nick Nurse and the Sixers, and here we go again. So for those of you just tuning in, and a lot of people probably know this, but yesterday the 76ers were fined $100,000. They had put out a statement at a certain point of the day, and I want to read the statement verbatim that they sent to reporters in a text message. So they sent reporters a text that said the following: Joel Embiid and Paul George are out tomorrow versus Detroit. They participated in portions of practice today and will be reassessed later in the week. Now, I say that to set up three pieces of audio. The first, let's go back about a week ago. Nick Nurse had been asked by Devin about Joel's status and, you know, trying to get at the Joel thing. Clearly, he lied. That's obvious. That's why the Sixers were fined $100,000. They were not fined for Joel not playing because the NBA has made a determination that he actually is not healthy enough to play. They have fined the Sixers because they believe the Sixers lied/misled the public in a way that's deceptive and bad for the brand of the 76ers and the NBA as a whole. That's why they were fined. Let's listen to Nick Nurse a week ago.
Is the part of the plan not because he's still dealing with that injury or re-injured himself during the Olympics?
He did not re-injure himself, but the plan is we don't feel like he's quite ready, strong enough, light enough, whatever it is.
All right, so did not re-injure himself, which of course begs the question, Devin, why isn't he playing? And there's no answer other than they're covering something.
No, and the more I listen to that answer again, the more I read into it, which probably isn't healthy, but he doesn't deny that he is still dealing with the injury from last season.
So if he did not injure himself.
Right, when he first answered, he said, it's obviously a clear, he did not re-injure himself.
Yeah.
But he did not say, oh, he's still dealing with that knee injury from the end of last
year. Yeah, interesting interpretation.
I don't know.
Let's listen to Nick.
Am I responsible, by the way? I feel like,
definitely your fault. Yeah. You set it off. $100,000. Boom.
I'm sorry.
No, stand by the work.
Goes
it was good
to
work.
One press conference.
All right, let's listen to Nick Nurse yesterday. So, why this topic has reemerged? Well, a couple things. First off, Joel Embiid game four, no. Okay, so that whole thing of he's out three games. And, like, James, you and I last week were like, he ain't probably playing game four.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Rhea, we don't even know if he's going to play game 20.
No.
We really don't.
We have no idea.
It won't shock anybody if he has surgery and misses the first two or 3 months
of the season.
If he's out
until the All-Star break, it wouldn't be a shock at all.
And here's what the NBA has to do to really come down hard on them. In that statement, I'm going to keep bringing it up.
Yep.
They've confirmed that he has a left knee condition. So why doesn't the NBA just come out and say it?
Say what?
What the condition is. What the injury is.
Yeah, I mean, so, look, I want someone to.
Someone
has to.
Daryl Morey, hello.
The Sixers got to be adults here, and they're clearly not. So yesterday it was extremely, extremely poorly handled by Nick Nurse. What you're going to hear is about 50 seconds of audio. A question about Joel, then a question not about Joel, but we're going to keep this whole thing together, give you full context, and then a third question, or at least an attempt of a question, about Joel. And listen to how Nick Nurse cuts it off. It's disgraceful. And guys, like, you know, they've got to answer to why isn't the guy playing? We're Sixers fans. There's about 15 to 20,000 that buy seats to these games. People deserve to know, is he going to play, when, and why not? Here's the exchange from yesterday.
Nick, obviously we got to worry about Joel and Paul. In terms of their participation in practice today, were they able to do any live 5-on-5 or anything like that today?
You guys got the update. They were in parts of practice. On we go. Apologies, but go ahead.
It sounded like you guys went pretty hard for a good chunk of time today during practice. What was the focus, or were you trying to hold?
Just trying to establish and maintain some type of identity and toughness of who we want to be and who we are and how we want to play, which finally showed up there three games in. Just staying on that track.
With Joel's plan,
I'm not going to answer. Go ahead. Anybody else got anything? They've given you the updates on that, right? They've given you the updates on Joel. Go ahead.
I mean, that's a disgrace. That is a disgrace.
So what
by
is
Nick
he
Nurse.
Doing? What? So is
stonewalling.
He's distancing himself from having any involvement with Joel's plan.
He's not distancing himself.
He's just not. I don't want to deal with.
No,
he doesn't want to
talk about it.
He doesn't want to get fined again. But he's being. You ready for what he's being? A horse's ass.
Yeah, he's being a Richard.
Is what Nick Nurse
he's
is being.
He's being a Richard. Is what he's being.
Who is he upset with? Is it with the question asker? Is it
he's
with
probably
Joel
upset with the whole
but,
situation.
But John, you're focusing on the wrong thing. He's frustrated with everybody. He's probably frustrated with Joel. He's probably frustrated with his bosses.
Yep.
He's probably frustrated with Joel's agent. And he's probably frustrated with Sixers fans and talk show hosts like us who came down on a week
look,
ago.
He might be, we don't know. But, he might have been lied to. We don't know. When he went out and said the things he said,
I'm just saying he might
have been hung out to dry. Like, he could be pissed about that. There's a million things he could be upset about.
But
it's the job. This is the job he signed up for.
Yep.
Yeah, but Nick Nurse
and
is.
Now he's
is,
learning.
We
how
can't
bad
forget
it can
that
get.
Nick Nurse is an employee. He doesn't run the show.
Exactly.
He is the basketball coach.
Well,
and he has to answer to his to the people that are above him.
You have to manage up,
and he has had to. Basically, it's on his shoulders to handle this, and I think that Daryl Morey should be the one who should be handling these questions.
I agree with you 1,000,000%,
yeah.
And I agree with you. I can't emphasize this enough. As a lifelong Philadelphian, as a 76ers fan, my disgust level is 100 times more for the Sixers organization than for Nick Nurse. In many ways, I feel like the Sixers organization has put their stink on Nick Nurse. But he's part of it now.
Well, he also doesn't have to be a jerk. Like, there's no reason
James,
to treat reporters like a jerk there.
Totally.
Like, you are being rude.
Be a professional.
Exactly. There are people that are doing their jobs, asking very, very fair questions.
Ruben, there are people.
Like, just don't treat them like crap.
There are
and it
people
doesn't sound
for the next home game that want to know, should I bother going to see Joel Embiid.
Yeah, it just sounds I get what you're saying. It just sounds like there's a frustration that he's got to deal with. And that's part of, I guess, being a leader.
You got to deal with it better. How about that?
I understand.
Deal with it better.
He's got it. You have to manage up and down in that position.
And out.
And that's part of it.
You got to manage
who
out.
Who do you think it's likely he's most upset with? Is it Joel? Is it the organization?
That's a great question, man. I've been in this situation, and there are times when I get really upset at the player because you want to really, protect him. And, and that's part of your job is to have to, manage up and deal with that.
All right, more on this situation. By the way, the reporter that asked that question there at the end, Dave Uram, he's going to join us coming up in studio because he's covered this stuff for years. And to have a Stonewall situation like that, Uram's thoughts on it, Sean, I got too much respect to talk over Bowie. You know that.
So I'll play Bowie every break? Is that the takeaway here?
I guess that's what you got to resort to.
I mean, if you want to shut me out, just play Bowie for 4 hours.
That's how I feel about the Last of the Mohicans bed. You know, like that. Can we ever hear that? Like, can we ever come back from a break?
That's
with
so
the Last of the Mohicans
though?
Stuff?
Yeah, it's weird.
It really is.
That would be
awesome,
a no,
though.
John.
It's just inspiring.
It is
like,
inspiring.
It makes you feel like you can get out there into the forest and you can jump over the trees yourself.
Well, and also true love, because he says, I will find you, and he means it.
You're right.
When he says to Madeline Stowe, I will find you, he freaking means it.
And he makes good on
he
that
He finds
promise.
Her. He finds
Against
her.
All odds.
Correct.
And then some.
That's
Thank
exactly
right.
Maybe
much.
A spoiler alert for the 40-year-old
that's
movie.
Right. Yeah, that movie came out like 32 years ago. By the way, Twitter poll question of the day.
More than
brought,
that.
Well, it was like 92, 91.
Was it? I thought it was like 89, 90.
Well, sorry if I'm off by a year or two, James. Sorry. Sue me. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. The poll question today, do you think the Eagles will win a playoff game this season? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Ross Tucker with us right now. Dave Uram from our sister station KYW who asked that question to Nick Nurse, had set off yet another firestorm with the Sixers. Uram will join us in studio coming up in about 2 minutes. Let's go to the phones. Dennis in Springfield right now. Dennis, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gang. To answer your Twitter question first, yes, the Eagles will win a playoff game. I expect them to be in the NFC Championship game. I think by the time the playoffs roll around, Jalen Hurts will be the best quarterback in the NFC.
I will be shocked if that occurs, okay. But I will be happy.
I don't think it's much of a stretch when you think about the fact that Jared Goff is probably the best quarterback in the NFC right now if you go on the way he's played thus far this season.
It is a lame crop of NFC QBs. I will say it does open the door, both for Jalen and the whole team. I mean, I don't think the Eagles are really a great team, but other than Detroit, no one's really impressed me yet.
And I think we got to start putting this whole schedule thing to rest. I don't need them to play a winning team every week to prove that they're a good team.
You know what, Dennis?
But Ravens,
I think it's uplifting.
The Ravens just lost to the Browns and the Raiders.
Yes, but it's uplifting that we beat
Minnesota
teams the way we
to
beat
the Rams.
Them. Yes, when you blow teams out, that matters too. We just doubled people up like that. That really, it's not easy to do that. To blow teams out. You are good. You are talented if you can hang it on
But Dennis,
that.
I will say, so Dennis, I hear your point and I vibe with it to an extent, but I will say this. We saw in 04, we saw in 17, and we saw in 22 what a truly great football team looks like. I mean, let's be real. In 04, the Eagles were pulling their starters off the field at the start of the fourth quarter. Like, you guys sit. That was a great team. Now, maybe this team gets there. They're clearly not there yet. But I just want to put a compare and contrast out there between what true greatness looks like.
And I would answer that with this year in the NFC, I don't think you have to be a truly great team.
You might be right.
That's blowing teams out to be a title contender.
Listen, the 07 Giants were 0-2 and muddled their way for a good portion of the year and won the Super Bowl. So you are right about that. Dennis, give me a great answer, a fictional lie or something misleading.
Okay, I'm going to have to go with the entire movie of The Hateful Eight.
The Hateful Eight, and he takes the whole movie.
Jeez.
See, the thing about the whole movie is it's so not specific that I just generally
I can't vote for that.
I vote against it when I hear that.
I feel like we've gotten a lot of whole movie answers, though.
I mean, right, Seltzer? Like, when to use the example John said earlier, when in the first Star Wars you see, which they technically call Star Wars 4, A New Hope, when Obi-Wan says to Luke, like, your dad's dead. He died.
Like, basically, Darth Vader killed
your
father.
Darth Vader killed your dad. Like,
well,
that's,
no, he didn't.
That's a lie. Darth Vader is his father.
He is your father.
In certain ways, though, that you could say that Anakin died when Darth Vader, like, the idea of Anakin, he can at least rationalize it to himself.
He's in there. He's in.
You're fudging
it
to a Force-sensitive child who knows that you're fudging it.
Did you say deep Force-sensitive child?
Ross, yes or Ross, yes or not?
Yeah, I know.
That's so good.
There you go, Sean. Ross, yes or not? Or no, your dad is dead. Oh, by the way, in the next movie, you're fighting your dad, and he tells you he's your dad. So, did Obi-Wan lie?
Oh, geez.
Just say yes.
What do you want me to say, Joe? Yes.
I want you to say.
Hold on a second.
Wait,
John,
do you
John
not
and
keep track
John
of Star
Seltzer,
Wars? Ross, do you not know Star Wars in the galaxy that we're discussing?
I have only watched the original three.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
The other six that come after it, I have no idea which one.
It doesn't
goes
sound
first,
like you well, know. The
yeah,
first
but you
three.
Don't even know the first three that well.
What's
going
on?
Refresh my memory.
When
refresh
Vader goes,
I watched the first three.
Refresh your memory.
Well,
Vader is Luke's
have to
dad.
Refresh your memory.
Do you know that Vader is Luke's dad?
I know that Darth Vader is Luke's dad. Okay. I don't remember what Obi-Wan Kenobi said.
Oh, well, no. You know what you should do then, Ross?
You should keep your mouth shut.
I think he was trying to.
Which is ironic because you ask him the question.
Yeah.
He didn't jump in. Yeah.
I'm literally it's waiting true. For an Eagles question, and out of nowhere, Joe asked me
Ross,
about Star Wars.
Yeah. All you had to
I'm
say.
I'm not a movie bad. Guy. I'm not any of those. Like, yeah. I'm ready to talk about the Eagles.
Fair
and
enough.
The Jaguars.
Ross,
and by the way,
enough.
I will say this. I will say this about the schedule, okay?
Yes.
I will say this. But I don't care who you're playing. If you win two road games in the NFL by 20 points or more,
right.
You're good, Joe.
Right.
You are good. Why don't you have somebody look up how many teams have won back-to-back NFL road games by 20-plus points. I bet you it doesn't happen very often.
Well, I will just, right. Ross, look, I hope you're right, and maybe the Eagles are good. But I also saw the 94 Eagles beat maybe the best football team I've ever seen, the 94 Eagles, 94 49ers.
Niners, yeah.
40-8. Things happen, man.
Well, that was a one game thing.
Well, I understand.
Now they've won three in a row.
I don't even know if the Bengals are going to finish above 500.
I mean,
Ross, there's a real possibility the Bengals don't finish above 500. Like a real possibility.
But they won two games in a row. What is your biggest concern with the Eagles right now?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay, so here's the question. Because you keep hinting at the fact that he's going to be here very long. In the ranking of quarterbacks, how good does Hurts have to be for you to think he should stay? If he's the 12th best quarterback,
yes.
Is that good enough?
Yeah, that's the baseline.
If he's the 17th best quarterback?
No, then he's gone.
Okay, so somewhere between 12 and 17.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
it's what I call the Flacco-Eli line. If Flacco and Eli, and they both won a title, we're typically about 10 to 12.
You know, Flacco's starting this week.
I do know that. But
that's amazing.
It is amazing. But that's generally where they were.
By the way... Can you imagine how great it would be to be on Indy Sports Talk Radio this week with their quarterback tapping
out? Oh my God! Taking a break.
Can you even imagine if someone did that? That would be like the Ricky Waters
and he didn't
who
know.
For what thing? My favorite.
That is like Ricky Waters. That's a good call. That's a really good call.
I haven't decided yet the most hilarious aspect of that. And if the people don't know, the Colts quarterback, number 4 overall pick, Anthony Richardson, he tapped his helmet and came out of the game before a 3rd and short. And number one, I don't know what's worse, that his conditioning is so bad that after one play where he scrambled, he felt like he needed to come out. Like, have you ever watched Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray play? They do it every play. Secondly, he actually did it. And then my favorite part is after the game, he gets asked, but he's like, yeah, I was tired. I needed to come out for a play. Like, he didn't even realize.
I can't believe
it's
it.
It's not a thing. I am sad.
It.
I am sad because one of my favorite hobbies on Sundays is watching Anthony Richardson's statistics. He'll be like 2 for 14 for 87 yards and a touchdown somehow. Like, those are real stats that guy has every week.
He can make
every.
And now
he's out and Flacco's in. Shane Steichen had to make that move. Our guy Shane had to make that move.
Wild, wild. All right, Ross with us, Ruben with us, and Nick Nurse yesterday. So let's play the short version. Dave Uram asked the question, and let's or tries to ask the question. Let's listen one more time.
With Joel's plan,
I'm not going to answer. Go ahead. Anybody else got anything? They've given you the updates on that, right? They've given you the updates on Joel. Go ahead.
All right, Uram, he's in studio. Dave Uram from our sister station, KYW News Radio. Of course, I told him about a year ago, and I mean this, hardest working guy in showbiz.
I appreciate that.
And I really admire what you do, Dave. I don't know how you do it. You're up early. You're up late. I don't know how you do it.
You're only up.
You're
only up.
You're at every press conference. You ask great questions.
Thank you.
Or, in this case, you try to ask a great question.
Yeah.
So take us inside your mindset as a reporter with that exchange yesterday.
So I've been meaning to ask this to Nick Nurse for a little bit. I wanted to ask it last week, but didn't get the time to because the press conference ended. So I told myself, if Joel's not playing by Wednesday, roll it out again before that Wednesday game. So after the announcement came out yesterday that him and Paul George were not going to play tonight, I figured, okay, you got to ask here. The first question that came out was about whether or not they did any 5-on-5 in practice, to which he didn't give an answer. But I did not think in the moment that that ruled out the opportunity for me to ask my question. It didn't even cross my mind. So I got 4 words in. I wish I got more words in, but I got four words in. And the question, the gist of it would have basically been, with Joel's plan, when was it decided that he wasn't going to play in these initial games? Was it when you guys reconvened at the end of September for training camp?
Yeah.
Was it during training camp, during the preseason? When was it known? When was it decided that he would not play in these opening games? Because I think that that's a big question that needs to be answered.
I agree. You know, I'll go back, John, to something Spike tweeted out about 2 weeks ago. It was about a week before the season started. And I'm paraphrasing here, but basically Spike tweeted, knowing that something wasn't right, hey, if the Sixers know he's not going to start the year, they better announce it soon. Don't announce it right before the start of the year. And of course, Dave, that's what they did the day before the game.
Yeah.
And they just have, they are, whatever goodwill is, they are the opposite of goodwill. They're the opposite of getting the benefit of the doubt.
Yesterday was very normal for a franchise that respectively is anything but normal. That's what that was yesterday. It was the same thing. It's just this franchise for one moment can't be normal. They can't just play basketball, right? There's always this other stuff going on.
Dave, isn't it Nick Nurse's job to answer that question?
Yes.
So why was he allowed to just say, I'm not answering that question?
Because from at least what I can presume without knowing, he's probably really annoyed at this point of answering
So what's
questions.
Going to happen if he, I mean, I would assume something's going to occur.
Pre-game he should
he
be asked tonight.
Denies his responsibility. It, like, really, there are ramifications for this that they will come down on him and he will have to answer.
Well, I think when he has his pre-game press conference, which for a 7 o'clock game is at 5:15, I'd be shocked if nobody asked any questions about this whole thing after what happened yesterday with the fine. Like, I don't. Nick can go, I'm not talking about it, but the questions will still will still come. And I wonder, like, he's clearly tired of answering these questions. When is Daryl Morey going to step to a microphone and answer questions? Or do I say, because they did sign Joel to a 3-year, $190-something million dollar extension, when is Joshua Harris maybe going to answer some questions?
Could you sense where most of the animosity was directed coming from Nick Nurse? I mean, I know it probably felt like it was directed
towards Dave.
But also, like, is it more Joel? Is it more the organization itself? Can you tell this?
I think it's just he's tired of answering questions. I think that's where it comes from. He just wants to talk hoops. He just wants to talk basketball. So when the first question comes in about 5-on-5 and he says, the update's been given out, we move on, that's the indication to me he's tired of answering these questions. Brett Brown got tired of answering questions. It got to the point where a Sixers PR representative, I forget if it was Brown's second to last or last year, I forget which one, but it got to the point where a PR representative, before Brown would speak, would announce what's up with the injuries. Like, he stopped answering questions, or pretty much stopped answering questions about injuries. So yes, it is part of the job, but I don't think any coach wants it to be part of their job.
John, I got a text message from a buddy, I forget if it was a week or two, I guess it's a week ago, right when all this stuff happened, right around the start of the year. A buddy of mine texted me and said this. He said, I will never understand how Josh Harris is a successful person. To be here this long and have so many public-facing screw-ups and still have an organization that has no idea how to navigate public perception is baffling and pathetic. Every word of that text is true. I mean,
nailed it.
Dave, how do they not? So here's my contention. They really, with limited exceptions, they just don't care about the fans.
Well, I won't put that word in their mouths, but I hear what you're saying. It's obvious that fans are really frustrated, and I think that as long as their building is full, to be frank, as long as their building's full, and their building is still, I mean, for the first game, it was pretty much full.
Yeah.
I think that's what matters in the end. But yeah, I mean,
and that they build a building.
Right.
Which is their other main objective.
That too. But I think, I don't know how you can't recognize that the fans are frustrated. I was looking at all the social media responses yesterday, and everybody, just about 99% of people are just fed up with the fact that they can't get answers on why their superstar isn't playing in a game. So
it's a joke.
I feel badly for Nick Nurse because he's put in a position to have to answer questions that I don't think that he should be answering. This is a higher level, and I think that's part of his frustration. Yes, he's probably not liking having to answer them, but he also, it should be sort of the responsibility of somebody north of him.
I agree. I do agree with you on that entirely, Ruben, but he could have handled it better.
I agree with
that. And he could have come to the press conference prepared for the reality. One, I'm going to be asked about it. Two, my boss isn't here to take the bullets. Three, I got to do a good job with it. And he didn't do three. He didn't do a good job with it.
That's why the media coordinator or whoever it is has to be a part of this. And that's where
But you know, part of the whole process as well. You know what that person has to do? Talk truth to power. If that person doesn't have the guts to tell the higher ups that make 20 times more money than he does or she does, then you just have an organization that goes off the rails. Someone has to tell the person, here's what you're doing wrong. And if you don't, then... by the way, Dave, I know you got to run. You got to get back to KY.
It's all good.
Nice job, man.
Thank you, guys.
Very nice job.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks. Dave Uram, we appreciate
great work,
it. Good work there. All right, so we'll take your reaction on the Sixers thing and that exchange with Uram and obviously Nick Nurse.
So, Ross, real quick,
nice work from you as well. I know a lot of Eagles... Can you give me a 15-second Doug Peterson thing? James said you got one thing on Doug.
I just love the guy. I don't know if you remember, but the first Eagles preseason game I did, I had no voice. I have to interview him before the game. I'm usually supposed to do three questions. I did one, and he talked for like 3 minutes, and that's all I needed. The next day I saw him, or the next walkthrough I saw him, I literally gave him a hug. It was my first Eagles preseason game, and I had no voice. So, like, I'm a Doug Peterson guy forever because he knew I was in a bad spot and he helped me out. So as a guy, we can talk coaching or whatever, but as a guy, he, you know how you guys were saying earlier in the show, he's the type of guy you want to have a beers with. He's a cool guy. He is exactly that.
Yeah. Good stuff, Ross. Bro. Great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Ross.
All right. See you guys.
All right. There he is, Ross Tucker. Of course, the Ross Tucker Football Report and all of it on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. So, John, what's your summation from talking to you, Ram, there? What do you make of it?
I can't believe that Nick Nurse, who has seen it all, you know, that Nick Nurse himself is exasperated with our star, our player. I mean, I don't know how much of it the frustration is directed at Joel, but we know it's stemming directly from Joel's actions and the way he's handling
it. I'll answer the question you've asked a couple times today. I think Nick Nurse is most frustrated with Joel Embiid.
Yeah. And
I would find,
he can't say it and he can never acknowledge this because we know the way the NBA works. If the star player knows that anyone is upset with them in any way, like that just doesn't fly. So it really is, man, a tough spot to be in for Nick Nurse, and he's just now realizing how rough it is.
I think he's frustrated with whoever is giving him the directive on how to handle this.
Maybe.
Could be.
And what to say. that got him in trouble. I mean, not him. The whole team is being fined, but Nick Nurse specifically and Daryl Morey were the names that were brought up by the NBA when they fined them.
Sure.
I think he's very bothered by almost being set up to fail in this situation. I don't think anyone really guided him on specific language to use. I don't think it's necessarily Joel Embiid's decision to not play.
Well,
I don't think it's a matter of toughness. I don't think it's a matter of heart. No, I don't think it is. I think it's a true medical evaluation that he's not ready to play.
I agree he's not ready to play, but it may be Joel's fault if he did not prepare to be ready to play.
Yeah.
Which would create a ton of frustration for the coach. I mean, if he is not physically, particularly after signing his contract, he's got one thing to do. He's got one thing to do as an athlete is to prepare himself, his body, and his mind to play major sports.
No question.
And that's his job to
do that. It's unbelievable to me that the start of the season came and went, and your star wasn't chomping at the bit. Like, that part is crazy to me. That I thought you were supposed to be, like, waiting with bated breath because now's your chance to finally go out there and do the thing that you love more than anything else in the world. It's supposed to be the thing that you love more than anything else in the world.
I'm playing
basketball, and you're not playing at the start of the season. That is incomprehensible.
Well, and John, to me, it's made even worse when you consider, like, I'd referenced this earlier. I'll say it again. Jokic. Yeah. Last night. Jokic, 29 points, 18 rebounds, 16 assists.
Right.
He had a game earlier this year with 40 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists.
That's a guy.
Three games ago, he was 41 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 7 3-pointers.
Yes. That's
7 3-pointers.
Stud. But he's dying to get out there and ply his wares. He's dying for the start of the season because he can finally get out there and love what he's doing again. I want Joel to love basketball, and I don't know if he does. I doubt he does based on what we've seen here. This is heartbreaking. The fact that our star doesn't care enough about basketball.
I don't know that it's about basketball. I think you're taking it too far. I think it's he doesn't. So who was it? Mike Tomlin? I got to look up the quote. The quote about everybody wants to win, but not everybody wants to prepare to win.
That's a great way to put it. That's a great way to put it.
Because everybody does want to win. Nobody says I want to lose.
I'm hopeful that there's actually something physical that happened in between, you know, the Olympics and the start of this season.
Yes, he got out of bed, Ruben.
Yeah. I'm hopeful that that was the case because this what you're talking about as far as, you know, being a franchise player, this sort of attitude, if that's the case, then that's troubling. That would
be devastating.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Mike Quick will join us in about a half an hour at 9:10 today. Let's talk to Steve right now, calling from Willow Grove. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and happy hump day.
Happy hump day, Steve.
Sixers, listen, the only thing I'm worried about is that they're going to kill Maxey because he's going to be playing so hard every game.
He'll be fine. He's got young legs.
He never stops that kid.
He'll be okay. Yeah. He'll be all right.
All right. Well, then with the Birds, I got to see what they do against the poor team now because I'm worried they're going to come out flat this week and, you know, we're going to be tied going into the fourth quarter again.
Well, you know what? Let me play. I want to play some audio, Steve. Steve, hang on a second, because I want to get to this soon, but your call tees up a comment I want to play from Nick Sirianni when he addressed the team this week. And, you know, the Eagles have a show that they put out on the internet. And in that show, Sirianni talked about success to the team in a team meeting. I thought this was a good point. Here's Nick Sirianni this week.
Here's what we talked about. Doubt, criticism, and hate, right? You got to bell block all that out. Well, it's the same deal with praise. Block it out. So now we're getting praised. Put your f***ing head down and work because there's nothing like the work. What was the line, Tyler? Treat praise like perfume. Smell it, sniff it, whatever f*** you got to do with it, don't drink it.
That's great. Awesome.
Isn't that great?
That's a great quote, man.
That's fantastic. So, Steve, we don't know that they will answer the bell, but we know that the coach is certainly messaging it the right way to make sure that they optimize their chance to do so. I mean, Steve, that is great stuff.
He is great, yes. He can talk, and now we just hope he can walk because they let us down last year after lifting us up so high. And
with him and Doug Peterson, I'm sure Doug Peterson told him how to deal with Howie. So that was a great.
Well, that and probably the media, man. I mean, there's a lot of complexities to being an Eagles coach. The media is one. Managing up is another. It's a tough town. It is.
But listen, more importantly, Ruben, will you accept a position in Joe's cabinet when he's president?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know. I have to give it some serious thought.
No, it's not.
I'd have to give it some serious
thought. It's a horrible question. It's nonsense is what it is.
You'd have to take it seriously, Ruben. Like, you'd have to take that possibility seriously.
We're living in the real world here.
Yeah. Ruben, this is not pretend.
Ruben, here's the good news. We are getting closer to the hammer running. I mean, every day we get closer to 2024, 2044, and 2048.
Well, do your thing.
I mean, that's the plan.
I mean, start the process.
I told you.
Is this book the start of the process here?
The book is a part of it because I know that JFK Profiles in Courage helped him get on the map when he wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. So yes, Seltzer, I am actually confirming.
Mm-hmm.
Putting pen to paper, or in this case, hands to a keyboard, is part of the presidential process because it is important to be a person that has written a book.
I would guess the youngest elected president in the history of our country would have gotten started with, I don't know, something political.
Well, he started at with this World
Your
War
book
II.
Is what? Profiles
at 46?
Oh, well, I'm already older than Kennedy was.
How old was he when he was elected? He was 30-something, wasn't he?
Late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, early 40s.
I think he was early 40s.
Like, you are very,
Teddy was the
very
youngest.
Behind.
But Teddy got there because the president got killed.
Okay, so, but you're very behind schedule. If you're patterning after JFK.
But I'm on schedule for Steve, you know my thing here. And I hate to use the word fame because I don't think of myself that way, but local fame through WIP for, 15, 20 years.
Gets you elected to the presidency.
Gets me elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. From there, Wheeler and Dealer, D.C.
Where does the money come from?
Work my way into a cabinet, a little bit more wheeling and dealing, run.
Listen to me.
And then maybe governorship, which helps me obviously win the election, PA. Yeah.
Kelsey's on tomorrow, right?
That's right.
Okay, put me on when Kelsey's on, and I'll lay out the plan. It's very simple, okay? You get me on with Kelsey. And
what a phony baloney way to try to get on with Jason Kelsey. I see what you did, Steve. No, I like your strategy. You're trying to help me. I'm joking. Steve, give me a great answer, a fictional lie or something misleading in the world of fiction.
Well, going to Godfather 2 when Tessie set up the meeting to have Michael
Steve, great call, buddy. What
big
a good
answer
call.
Right nice. There.
That is a big answer. That's a very, very, there's a
so
lot.
So profiles in what? Your book is what? Profiles in what?
In either sports or not sports.
What?
Will not be encouraged, James.
Oh, man.
Profiles.
That's the plan?
Listen, profiles in not sports.
If you have an idea, you don't want people to scoop the idea. I mean, profiles in not sports. Profiles in not courage.
Yeah, that's what I'm sure.
I don't know. We'll see. Do you guys know George Washington became famous by writing a book? Well, or in this case,
that's the reason why he was famous.
That is the reason.
Famous,
yes,
man.
That's the reason he became famous.
He's an
incredible military
genius. Before that, he led an expedition in what they called the Ohio Territory. And when he returned, he wrote a pamphlet. And that thing spread through the colonies. And it was early fame for George Washington in his early 20s.
I don't know that pamphlet fame equates to, like,
pamphlet's not a book.
War fame.
Yes,
he
exactly.
was a general
That elevated him. It's like Kennedy becoming president. Elevated him. Profiles in Courage, World War II. There you go. Just saying. Let's go to the phone.
He's trying to break it out.
I'm trying.
Pamphlet. Yeah, his history. His history, that stuff.
I told you, man. Historian right here.
Yeah, man.
Hey, let's listen to Jaws because, one of the things about the Eagles is their defense has improved. There is no question. Let's listen to Jaws when he joined us yesterday about the Birds' defensive improvement.
It has been an amazing turnaround, guys. Since the bye week, prior to the bye week, this team was struggling defensively. I mean, we all talked about missed tackles ad nauseum. When I watched the tape of them on yesterday afternoon, I went, oh, my God, this defense has had an epiphany. What a turnaround from this defensive scheme. And, for years, we've always devalued linebackers here in Philadelphia. At least we thought, Joe Banner did and Howie Roseman did. But You look at these linebackers now, they just popped off the screen to me. You know, when Zach Bond and Kobe Dean were phenomenal as a tandem in the game. It was the best game I've seen from two linebackers playing the Eagles in a long, long time.
That's a big statement by Joss.
Holy cow.
That's a really big statement.
But then when you think about it, like two linebackers.
Yeah, I mean, T.J. Edwards.
Feel confident about two any point?
No,
it
here's what I'll say. T.J. Edwards, yep, that's one in 2022 and parts of 21. Nigel Bradham, 2017.
Sure.
Kendricks to a lesser extent, but not in a particularly impressive way.
Jordan Hicks before he got hurt.
Maybe Hicks and Bradham together.
Hicks and Bradham early in the season.
Yeah,
the last time we had that.
That's right. They fit the bill. It's the first time
It's probably the Carolina game, because I think Washington was after Carolina, and that's when Hicks Jason Peters got injured and out on the same
that
night.
That was Nigel Bradham was awesome in that
game. By the way, those injuries may or may not be featured in my book.
But so we know it's not that would be a non-sports book featuring those injuries.
He's going to say that about every single topic from now until the end of time.
By the way, one more thing from Jaws, because he had big praise for Cooper DeJean. That play that DeJean made when he stopped Jamar Chase, that was a really, really big one, and Jaws talked about it.
Cooper DeJean makes a heck of a play in that fourth down play. And to me, so much it was coaching, because he knew the play that was coming, motion across the field, and trying to get a little pick interrupt. But it's the way he came across the field. He didn't jog across the field. He wasn't slow getting across the field. He diagnosed the play, fired his gun, and made the play on fourth down. To me, that's coaches making your players aware, here's the play that's coming. Big fans have got his guys in the right position to make the play. And the intelligence of Cooper DeJean to know exactly what the play was, and he made the play. It's talent and intelligence in the scheme. 11 players playing together, and you get great defense against a good offensive team.
There's no question since the bye, there are a couple things we have seen that are noticeably different. Jalen hasn't turned it over. They are under center more on offense. They are running the ball more on offense. Cooper DeJean inserted into the starting lineup. I mean, John, and I'm sure there's a few more, but those four have really elevated the football team.
I think post-bye, the reconfiguration led by the coaching staff, but also our quarterback. He went back into the drawing board. We were told because he was dismayed by the way he was turning the ball over. It was not like him previously. And last year, he started getting into some bad habits.
Yeah.
I think he has done a great job of eliminating some of those bad habits. He's worked on learning this new offense, the terminology, setting the protections. Everything is headed in the right direction.